Chapter 5. Phil Coulson Believes in Heroes. Their first time in combat as Avengers goes something like this. Clint breaks his leg, Natasha breaks an SUV, Peter accidentally webs Luke to a wall temporarily, Luke breaks two SUVs, Tony breaks a building, Steve employs a maneuver Tony hasn't seen him try outside of one of their dance parties, and it ends up taking out three Doombots at once. Peter makes eight terrible puns, two of them while riding a Doombot gaily through the air towards certain death. Tony reprograms a dimensional portal over Manhattan so that instead of opening into a realm of fiery destruction, it causes a temporary rain of alien cupcakes, thus saving Peter from certain death. Luke spots the source of the problem, reports it in, and then goes after it, Natasha a beat behind him. Clint, leg already broken, pulls three cops and a dog to safety before taking out 18 Doombots with 16 arrows. Natasha sets off an explosion which nearly kills her but closes the dimensional portal completely. Tony contains half the blast with his armor, and Luke contains the other half with one of the broken SUVs. There's some property damage, but mostly it's just cupcakes. Could be worse. Could probably not be more embarrassing. Somehow the reporters know where the Avengers are gathering to recover, and they catch Peter and Clint doing an awesome mid-air chest bump right before Clint collapses. Steve slams Tony's helmet with his hand and laughs in his faceplate, eyes sparkling. Luke does a victory dance. Natasha takes pictures with her phone. Nobody dies. They save the world. The crowd goes wild. Tony is busy for the first few minutes, making sure everyone's okay. The worst that's happened, other than Clint's broken leg, is Peter is smeared in alien frosting, which is not a mortal wound. Coulson, who had been a reassuring voice in their comms during the fight, is already splinting Clint's leg when Tony turns and realizes that half the news media in New York are gathered at a SHIELD-erected barrier watching them. Time to do what he does. Well, not best, but at least frequently. Tony retracts his helmet and walks up to the barrier. "Hi," he says, as the reporters wave microphones in his face. "Oh, hey, hi, hello, how you doing? What's up? So this is all very interesting, huh? I'm Tony Stark. You may know me as Iron Man." "Iron Man! Iron Man, what happened around here? Iron Man, can you give us a statement? Iron Man, is that Captain America? Iron Man, why are you associating with Spider-Man? Unknown? Oh, you. Are you from the Daily Bugle?" Tony guesses. The man nods. "Okay, on three, everyone push him way to the back. 1, 2, 3, he says. And the good men and women of the Fourth Estate crowd the asshole away from the barrier. "Okay, cool. So, welcome. What you've just seen is some supervillainy in action, thwarted by the Avengers Initiative." Tony spends the next 20 minutes explaining the Avengers to the media, being awesomely charismatic, and informing them that no, he's not at liberty to reveal the identities of Power Man, Superman, or Captain America. "Actually," Steve says, joining him at the barrier. He holds up a hand briefly to block the flashbulbs. "Wow, guys, a little less lighting? Thanks," he says as the cameras are lowered. "Look, this is kind of a long story, and I'm sure SHIELD will be talking to everyone about us, but my identity isn't a secret." He reaches up and pulls his cowl back, off his head. There's that matinee idol smile, the perfect blonde hair, the handsome face. Tony stares up at him, proud and honored to be fighting with him. "My name is Steve Rogers," he says. "I'm Captain America." "Way to warn me," Tony says out of the corner of his mouth, as the cameras go back up and the flashes intensify. "Spur-of-the-moment decision," Steve replies. They watch Steve's unmasking on the 6 o'clock news on the TV in Clint's hospital room. Clint is furious that he hurt himself their first time out of the gate, but he can still shoot, which Steve assures him is what counts. Tony's already working on digital diagrams for a bionic support cast that will sheathe the leg and protect the bone without losing mobility. "You'll be back in the field in a week," he assures Clint. "Booyah," Clint replies, a little dopey from the pain medication. Booyah, Coulson mutters disbelievingly. Peter and Luke are still on an adrenaline high. Tony glances at Coulson and then rolls his eyes towards the youngest members of the team. But Coulson just says, they'll crash. And sure enough, about 10 minutes later, Peter is passed out on the other hospital bed in the room, and Luke is asleep in a chair. This was good work, Coulson says, muting the television. For your first time out, it wasn't unimpressive. It wasn't impressive, but now you have some field knowledge to apply to your drills.
Gee, don't flatter me, Tony says, grinning.
Okay, so we could have done better.
You will do better, Coulson corrects.
Of course we will, Steve replies, returning from a food foraging expedition with Natasha. She settles cross-legged at the foot of Clinton's bed, sitting next to his good leg, and Tony hops up to sit on the edge of the bed next to his hip. Steve pulls up a chair and begins unpacking Chinese food.
Should we wake them? He asks, jerking his thumb over his shoulder at Peter and Luke.
Let them rest, Coulson replies. Clint, aiming with his usual care, tries to throw a chopstick and hit Peter in the nose. Coulson snatches it out of the air like it's nothing. Tony blinks. Steve looks impressed. Natasha seems unsurprised.
Did you think I got where I am by being good at filing? Coulson asks mildly.
Well, yeah, Tony says.
Try again, Mr. Stark, Coulson replies.
Clint gives him a look of fond exasperation. Coulson smiles at him. Tony narrows his eyes.
So, let's go over what could have gone better today, Coulson continues.
They eat and discuss strategy in low voices. Clint's pretty out of it, but Steve has a lot of good ideas. And Natasha had a better view of the ground-level work than Tony did, so combined they can paint a pretty accurate picture.
It's nice. It's comfortable, all of them together here, working for a common goal. Tony feels like a part of something, and for the first time in what feels like forever, he feels like someone older and more experienced than him has his back. They're not kids running around fumbling in the dark. They had a job to do, and they did it. It's satisfying.
Steve eventually wakes up Luke and Peter, loading them up with leftovers and assuring Coulson he'll get them home before their respective curfews. Natasha says she'll go along. She's headed back to the helicarrier and can take Steve with her, then return in the morning to pick Clint and Coulson up and take them back. Tony doesn't bother asking why Coulson isn't going tonight, too.
Heading home? Coulson asks after the others have gone.
Tony stretches, working out kinks left over from fighting.
Big empty apartment,
Tony yawns. I thought I'd stick around till they kick me out.
I'll be spending the night, Coulson replies. Part of the gig as handler.
Handler! Tony's shiny red metallic ass!
I'm team leader. I'm not going to arm wrestle you for the pleasure of sitting vigil, Stark.
Relax,
Coulson replies. He cocks an eyebrow.
Go ahead and ask.
Tony shrugs.
I thought Clint and Natasha were a thing.
Were. Coulson sets aside the remains of his meal and leans back. They were going to burn each other out. They both knew it. He glances at Clint.
So, you guys?
I don't think I'm in danger of burning anyone out. Not my style, Coulson replies.
How did you know? Tony blurts. Coulson gives him a questioning look. About him, how did you know he'd be, you know, interested?
Coulson gives him a tolerant look. I didn't.
Then how did he?
He didn't either, Coulson says. He took a chance. Something you might consider doing.
Tony stares at him.
Am I that obvious? He asks finally.
Because he thought he was keeping his jealous, immature little crush on Steve well under wraps.
It's my job as your handler to know everything about the young men and women under my authority, Coulson says.
What about fraternization?
Coulson's lips twitch.
Where'd you pick up that word?
He shakes his head. S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't a place where normal people go. There isn't a lot of evidence to support the idea that colleagues who fraternize inherently endanger their social unit anyway. He smooths a wrinkle in Clint's bedsheet. Assessment aside, you were chosen because you're young, driven, intelligent men and women. You have a very clear sense of focus and purpose. Stable, you are not, but that hardly matters. The work is of the utmost importance to all of you. When it comes to time to make the hard call, and you in particular will likely have to do that someday, as the team leader, emotional attachment won't play a part. Or at any rate, no greater part than it would if you were simply friends. And you? Tony asks. Clint knows what he signed on for, and he knows better than to put off a shot at something good because it might end badly. Tony tilts his head. He's not as experienced as Coulson, but he knows an evasion when he hears it. And you? He repeats. Coulson returns his gaze, level and unafraid. One of my few flaws is my unshakable belief that things won't end badly. Seriously? Don't tell Fury, Coulson says, and his fingers tap out a brief staccato beat on the rail of the bed, before snaking past it to grasp Clint's hand. Look, he says, and nods at the television, still on mute in the corner. The big stylized Avengers A is on the screen, along with a slogan, I believe in heroes. PR didn't come up with that one, Coulson tells him. I did. The day after their first battle, the Avengers are the darlings of New York. Bootleggers are already selling I Believe in Heroes t-shirts, usually with Steve's iconic S.H.I.E.L.D. logo on them. Tony is used to the attention, and Peter and Luke are protected by their secret identities, which doesn't prevent Peter from sending Tony a camera phone shot of himself in one of the bootleg t-shirts. Steve, back on the helicarrier, is probably blissfully unaware of what's going on, of how the news keeps flashing pictures of him smiling in his Captain America suit. Natasha and Clint are not used to being visible, and Tony thinks it's very virtuous of him not to say he told them so when he can see them wishing for masks. He did eventually leave Coulson with Clint the previous night, but only so that he could run down to the Stark Solutions fabrication shop and build Clint a boot. When Clint walks out of the hospital without a limp the next morning, wearing his shiny purple metal prosthetic, the reporters camped in front of the hospital go apeshit. Smile and wave, Tony says through a bright grin. Eat me, Clint replies through his own smile. And so it goes. Tony is back to mostly 20-hour days, working, fighting evil, drilling with the team. Peter and Luke whine and moan about being superheroes with curfews and homework. Clint thumps around in his boot. Natasha turns down an offer to be the new bachelorette, as well as an offer for a series called Who Wants to Marry a Heroine? And finally, Tony has to threaten to buy and permanently shut down any television network that approaches her, because it's creepy and kind of sexist. Steve goes on Travis Smiley. He's the only talk show host who's not also an idiot, Coulson explains, to prove he really is the Captain America and discuss how that whole thing happened. Tony watches the way his hands move when he talks about how his teammate, Tony Stark, figured out how to wake him up, the excited smile on his face. He laughs along with the others when Steve reenacts the whole I'm not a Nazi exchange. He doesn't get to spend as much time with Steve, and what time they do spend is mostly drills and team exercises, but at least it's something. Their second battle isn't as intense as the first, and nobody gets hurt badly. S.H.I.E.L.D. still called out War Machine to help, because giant monsters menacing Long Island are apparently a big deal. Tony suspects privately that Rhodey's been pestering the brass to let War Machine out, so that he can meet Captain America. In the debriefing room afterwards, Rhodey retracts his helmet, and Tony throws an arm around his shoulders in a hug. He's missed Rhodey like nuts. He only lets him go enough to turn to everyone else for introductions. "Guys, this is Rhodey," he says, sweeping them all with a hand. "Rhodey, you remember Clint and Natasha."
"Nice to meet you guys on the side of good,"
Rhodey says, offering his fist for Clint to bump. He offers it to Natasha, too, but she just eyeballs him.
"And you met Peter, right?"
"Yeah, good to see ya,"
Rhodey says, giving him a high whip.
"This is Luke," Tony continues.
"Nice to meet you," Luke says.
"Same here, man. I'm a fan of your work,"
Rhodey replies, and Luke looks pleased. "And this," Tony says, swiveling Rhodey around,
"is Captain America."
Rhodey untangles himself from Tony and throws up the most amazing salute ever.
"Captain, sir."
Steve smiles.
"At ease, Rhodey. Call me Steve."
"Chain of command won't let me, Captain,"
Rhodey replies. There's something different about him. The way he holds himself. The short, clipped way he talks. Tony looks on, interested.
"Well, I won't tell your officers if you don't,"
Steve replies.
"Honor code, sir."
Steve nods.
"In that case, nice to meet you, cadet."
"Thank you, sir."
Tony and Rhodey have known each other practically since they were born, and Tony knows that underneath it all, Rhodey's still the same goofball who played cops and robbers with him as a kid, who had his back in high school, and who helped him start up Stark Solutions, who just laughed and said,
"Feel better now?"
when Tony, totally freaked out to admit it, came out to him. But during the briefing, at dinner afterward, and when they said their goodbyes, he's definitely different. Precise and sharp, disciplined, mature. Tony hopes to God he seems as grown up as Rhodey does.
"Hey," he says, as Rhodey prepares to head back to West Point, walking out onto the flight deck in War Machine.
"Army looks good on you, Rhodey."
"Thanks,"
Rhodey replies, a big smile lighting his face.
"Really?"
"Really. I mean, weird, but good," Tony says.
"Avengers is a good look for you, too,"
Rhodey replies.
"Hey, when did we grow up?"
"Dunno. I was busy doing other stuff, I guess."
Rhodey bumps him with his shoulder.
"Say hi to Pep, and look after your team."
"Go kick some cadet ass."
"You know it,"
Rhodey replies, and pulls his helmet down.
"See ya, Tony."
Tony stands on the deck for a while, watching War Machine fade into the distance.